wishing you a happy new year from all of us at the Christian Worship Hour. We are rejoicing in Jesus as we begin another year as the Lord leads us in this ministry. I'm Mike Salem. My dad, Pastor Salem, loved to spread the good news of Jesus to provide hope and encouragement to people. A special part of our day is hearing from you, our viewers. From Iowa, one viewer wrote, "Thank you for being my church and preaching the Word of God. I look forward every week to hear Pastor Salem. I pray you are able to continue broadcasting his messages." And from Nebraska, "The Christian Worship Hour continues to be a blessing for us. We are so thankful that Pastor Salem's sermons continue to be heard. We hope today's message on a few great people of the Bible and the lessons they give us on how we should live will be of comfort to you." Now, let's open your Bibles for today's message, some good examples for the new year. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And the first thing I have to do, must do, is say Happy New Year and God bless you. Doesn't seem possible if the year is all gone by and starting a new year with Jesus. But that's the facts. That's where we're at. First day of the first new year. And before I forget it, I want to thank all of you for the cards and letters and gifts that you sent for Christmas. I really appreciate it, and just thank every one of you for thinking about us. We're going to be looking at Psalm 73 today and think about our wonderful Savior, how he's always there to guide and to help us. The psalmist writes, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast held me with my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Afterward, receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're always there. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And though the years may come and the years may go, you are always the same. That we can always depend upon you. You are the Ancient of Days, and we have our faith and hope centered in you. So bless us today in this service that we may see how we can use this new year. Use it to honor you and to help those around us and to bring people to a saving knowledge of the Savior. Bless and use us all to your honor and glory. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. And Melissa's going to sing, and I know you like it, and entitled Supper Time. So God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Many years ago, in days of childhood, I used to play till evening shadows come. Then winding down an old familiar pathway, I heard my mother call at set of sun. "Come home, come home, it's supper time." Supper time in heaven, and now I know she's waiting for me there. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, come home, supper time. I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The banquet table's ready up in heaven. It's supper time upon the golden shore. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. We're going home at last.
Thank you, Melissa. And as she was singing that, I was thinking about that great feast we're going to have, the Feast of the Lamb in heaven. And one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, and time is going to be no more. And we're all going to gather, and God's people, those who know the Lord, are going to gather around that supper time. And those people that we wish we could see, and we can't see now, and those who are long been gone, we'll all be gathered there with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious, glorious time that will be. But you'll never attend that feast unless you have Jesus. You have to be born again. And by that we simply mean you have to be a time when you ask Jesus to come into your heart and to take away your sin and make him your Savior. Then you promise to forsake your evil ways, promise to walk with him, make him the Lord of your life. Just call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And then if you do that, we'll send you some literature, and I'll give you the address in just a few minutes. Well, we want to send a thank you for all of the letters. We get so many nice letters, and so we all read all of the letters, and we share some of them with you. And I got a letter not too long ago, and the lady said, I just thank you so much for reading the letters, because we are way out here in a kind of an isolated place, and we don't have much Christian fellowship. And it's so wonderful to hear people all over the world that we can pray for, and that we are part of the body of Christ, and it binds us together, it draws us together. And I never thought of it that way, but that's exactly what we're doing. We're all together listening to somebody's letter, and then we'll pray for that person, and we'll bind us together as we do. Worship the Lord and serve the Lord. So let me share some of the letters. First one comes from Billings, Montana. And this person writes, as usual, you and your staff started the week with so much encouragement. That seems to be the best hour of the week. When you answered my questions about my daughter's suicide, you uplifted me so much. Thank you. May God continue to bless you with strength to do his work. And so here she's writing. We send her a little booklet she wrote in for it, and it's entitled, Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Heaven? And the answer is absolutely yes. And then it's a little booklet, about 12 or 14 pages. It's not some visions that I've had, or I've dreamed something, or I died and came back to life and all of that. It's not some theories that we have. But it is the Word of God, the Word of the living God. And God assures us that if we've accepted him as our Savior, we are his child forever. And there's reasons to believe that. And so if you'd like to get it, you get your pencil and paper. We'll give the address, and just when I get done with the letters, I'll give you that. And you just ask for it, the little pamphlet on suicide. We send it free and postpaid. But if you can send a gift to help us, it'll help us with our printing costs and postage. But if you don't have any money, like people in prison, we hear from many people in prison, some people on Social Security just don't have anything, we'll send it to you. And if a Christian commits suicide, will he go to heaven? You bet he will, on the Word of God. Now here's, let's see, Woodstock, Illinois. I'm a shut-in for 86 years. I want all Jesus has for me even though I have lots of pain at times. But I should not say one thing for the suffering. My Lord suffered for my sins and the sins of this world on the old rugged cross, which was much worse than any of us has suffered. I thank my Jesus for saving me and all of his people and to give his life and blood on the cross for us. Well, isn't that a beautiful letter? Here she's having suffering, but she's thinking about Jesus and how he suffered for us on the cross. And the wonderful Lord Jesus came and he was crucified, shed his blood. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And if Jesus hadn't shed his blood for us, every one of us would have been in the pit to hell. No way around it, because we're all sinners. And God won't allow one speck of sin, not their little white lies. They're just dirty little things. They call them white lies. There's no such a thing. And if we've stole one little green apple, you're a sinner. We're a sinner. And we've all sinned. I know I have. And so when we can't go to heaven with our sins. And so when we come to Jesus and we ask him to save us, he washes away our sin. And he clothes us with his righteousness, and we're in the righteousness of Christ. And when we get to heaven's gate, we're going to see Jesus. We're going to see his righteousness. We're clothed in that righteousness. But you'll never have it unless you ask for it. You have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. I hope you'll do that. And that's what Paul talked about. He said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. We're not a friend of the world. We're separated to God through Jesus Christ. Beautiful. Here's Quincy, Florida. Blessings on you and your ministry. My wife and I are shut-ins. We hear you every Saturday afternoon over Tallahassee. Thanks because of Jesus. And so here they are all over the world, and we're all bound together, all at the feet of Jesus, all the believers, all the Christians. That's the body of Christ. That's the family of God. And part of that family of God is on earth, and part of that family of God is already in heaven. When you get to be 95 years old, you got a lot of the family up in heaven. And they're probably up there, and they said, oh, boy, Harold should be showing up. Oh, boy, I wonder if he made it. I bet he didn't make it. Oh, I'll make it because of Jesus. Not because of anything I've done, but I have Jesus in my heart, and he's cleansed me, and I have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'll be there. Don't you worry about that. Let's see, Fort Myers, Florida. Don't worry, I enjoy giving. I just miss my son Ralph so much. He took me to church every Sunday as I'm in a wheelchair, cannot drive anymore. I just finished listening to your service this morning. Now I'm refreshed again. What a beautiful service. God bless you and your staff. It is a beautiful service. You know why it's beautiful? We're using the Word of God. It isn't anything we have. The Bible, the wonderful Word of God. And when we preach the Word of God, the Holy Spirit picks it up, carries it all over the world, and applies it to hearts. And some people he has to correct. And some people he has to convince of their sins. And some people he has to comfort. And some people he has to bind up. But he uses a beautiful, wonderful, powerful word of God that will abide forever. Eternal is thy word, God says. It is for eternity. And we have all kinds of changes around us, but the word of God never changes. And the hymnist put it like this: change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. And that's what this Christian worship hour is all about, is having the wonderful Jesus. And you take him into your heart. He wants to come in. He's asking to come in. He's talking to some of you right now. He's saying, I want to come into your heart, but I can't come in. I won't come in unless you ask me. I'm not a trespasser. Can you imagine the Son of God knocking at our heart's door to come into our heart? It sounds unbelievable, but that's how much God loves us. And he's asking to come in, and you have to ask him in. He'll never come in. Ask him right now, your own words, your own way. Don't get fancy. Forget the thee and the thous. Just tell him, Jesus, I'm a terrible sinner. And maybe there's some sin. Billy Graham says maybe there's some big sin that you stands up. Maybe you want to confess what sins it is, and just, you don't need to tell the whole world. Just talk to Jesus. Tell him, and then ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. Be sure to thank him, then give him your life. If he saves you, we owe our life to him, don't we? Well, look at here. This is from Kansas City, Missouri. Said, stuck at home today with my tricky back. Whenever I can't attend my own church for any reason, I know I can always tune into the Christian Worship Hour and hear your service. I literally stumbled across it several years ago and have loved it ever since. God bless you for the work you do. I intend to add you to my list of ministries. Love and support Christian radio and ministry. Keep up your good work. Now, look, this is what she says. This is a lady writing. She says, you are not a mega church. Your set is not flashy. You don't have a big orchestra. But those things are so unimportant. You are obviously called by God and doing his important work. You'll never know this side of heaven how many of you have touched. Keep on keeping on. And so here we are, and she says, you're not a mega church. Well, I guess we have to, I can't argue with that. We're way up in South Dakota. Do you know where South Dakota is? I bet half of you don't even know where. You probably think it's down by North Carolina, something like that. But we're up in the upper Midwest in the United States, and we are just plain everyday people. We couldn't get fancy if we wanted to. And we preach and we teach in such a way that the children can understand. And we don't have an orchestra, and we don't have gowns and flowers and fountains and all of that. And another thing we don't do, we don't have a lot of gimmicks to get money. I'm going to tell you that we have some needs, and it's going to take about 10 seconds or 15 seconds. You can time me. Get your watch out and time me. And we'll just tell you we have some needs. James says, you have not because you ask not. If we don't let you know, how would you know we have a need? But we don't have gimmicks. We send out handkerchiefs and bottles of water and stuff. Good Lord, I don't know what they're doing anymore. And they're putting a hand on the television and everything else. Maybe you can't get out of bed, but then you can't get saved if you can't get out of bed because you can't get your hand on the TV. So we're just everyday people, and we're preaching the Bible. That's the center. That's the whole story, and that's why God is blessing us. And so we just want to thank you for writing and thank you that we can minister to you just in our own humble way. God bless you. Let's see, Great Falls, Montana. I love the monthly Bible study and I'm glad it is free. Well, I put that letter in it because I want to tell you about our monthly Bible study. We have a little Bible study, it's called The New Song. And it's really a great little booklet. It's free and postpaid and it has a different Bible study every month. But for this month, the month of January, we have a little study, and it's called The Promises of God, Great Promises of God. And so that's all out of the Bible, and that's going to be a blessing to you. So you get your pencil and paper. I'll tell you in just a couple of minutes now, and then you can write in. Just say, new song. Or if you want the article on suicide, you can put on the suicide. If you want, we also have a little pamphlet on, can a Christian lose their salvation? The answer is no. Absolutely can't. And she said, oh, I don't believe that. Well, get our little book and take a look at it. Might change your mind. Then, of course, some of you are pretty set. You probably won't change your mind, but that's all right. You know, the decision is up to you, but it's all scripture. It's not my guesswork. I'm not thinking I got a feeling and like something my funny bone told me this or that. Oh, no, you got to have just trust Jesus. And you can't lose your salvation. Well, let's see. I have one more. And it says, Sibley, Sydney, Iowa. I prayed asking the Lord to come into my heart and into my life as my Savior. But I don't know if I'm praying properly, or I don't know how to realize that he's answering. It's hard for me to get up and down to pray. I used to pray laying in bed, but I didn't think that was the proper way. Well, now, this person is wondering about the posture when you pray. Now, I think if you can kneel by your bed, I think that's wonderful. And I used to pray every night, kneel by my bed. But now I'm 95 years old, and I got some bones that says, you can kneel down, but you can't get back up, Buster. And so I can't do that anymore. Well, I guess I could get maybe call the neighbors to help me. I got a son, Michael. He'd come and help me get up. But you don't have to kneel by the bed to pray, and you don't have to be in any particular position or attitude. When you stop and think for a minute, Paul was in prison when he prayed. Jonah was in the belly of a giant fish when he prayed. Daniel was in a lion's den when he prayed. Jesus was on the cross being crucified when he prayed. Stephen prayed when he's being stoned to death, and as he was dying, he was praying. And what prayer is simply talking to God. Now, for Christians, if you're not a Christian, if you haven't accepted Jesus, the first prayer you need to make is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And ask Jesus to come into your heart. But once you've asked Jesus in, you don't have to ask him again. Jesus didn't say you have to be born again and again and again. You're born again once, and that's it. And then you're his forever. And so then you just, when you pray, you just use your own words and talk to the Lord. If you can kneel, that's fine. But if you can't, whatever it is, just talk to the Lord and talk to him and read the scripture. And I think it's nice if you can pray in the morning because the whole day is ahead of you. And I like to pray in the morning. So that's when I have my devotions because then I don't know what the day is going to bring forth, see? And so you just pray in the morning. And then this person is saying that they just don't know if they don't know about if he's answering me or not. Well, now you may have feelings and you may not have feelings because accepting Jesus is just a contract where you accept Jesus. You take him at his word and he says, if you accept me, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So it's a contract. He says, I'm knocking to come in. If you ask me, I'll come in. That's all there is to it. You may have feelings, you may not. But it's just simply taking God at his word. And when you do that, you write and let us know. We'll send you some scripture. So now I want to give you the address because we need to have your help. Well, you know, our organization, our ministry, we're dependent on God's people. That's the only source of income we have. And I know people are saying, well, what if I send money and they don't use it? What if he gets him a fancy car? He's 95 years old. What if he gets a convertible and zips around 95 years old? See, that's about to happen, I guess. Well, we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they check out, they audit all of our books, what we get and how we spend it. And so you don't need to worry. It's an international organization. And when they give you the okay, you are clean as a hound's tooth. So you write to us, and you can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Christian Worship Hour, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And here's a miracle, and it's a miracle I kind of like. If you want to give a gift, you can give it over the internet. You just take christianworshiphour.com, and there's a place that says donate, and you can send it by a Visa, whatever you got. You can send it, and we'll get it in the currency, United States currency, and we'll use it to pay our bills. And one other thing I want to mention is that this little new song, it has of the scriptures that we're going to use for preaching over the Sundays. It has a sermon topics. It has excerpts from many of our letters that we get. You will just love it, and it doesn't cost anything. We really ought to charge you for it, but we are so good-hearted that we just send it out for nothing. But it's worth a lot. And so you write to us there. You got it on the screen. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. I'm giving it again mostly because of those that have a radio and that you don't have the screen. Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And God bless you. Now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as the Lord lays on your heart. We'll leave it at that. So, dear Lord, thank you for those who give so faithfully over the years. Many of them, Lord, are in your presence right now. The work is all done, and they're with you. And so we just thank you for those who help us and for providing for our needs. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. That's just beautiful. Well, we're reading from Philippians chapter 3, beginning with the 10th verse. And Paul is writing here, and he's talking about his life and how that he's serving the Lord, and he's coming toward the end of life now. And it's a beautiful passage, and it's a challenging one for us as we start a new year, because we're going to look at some Christian people, great leaders in the Bible, and pattern our life after them, take some cues from them, and follow the Lord. And then in our prayer, we're going to pray. We always, every week, we pray for the persecuted church, and we're going to pray today for the persecuted church in Syria. But first, our scripture, Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul says that I may know him, Jesus, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, that's my prayer, and I know that's the prayer of all of our listeners, all who are with us today. I know they're praying for the very same thing, that we may forget those things that are behind and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful calling, and oh my God, I think so many times that you'd even call on me to do anything, and I am so honored. And yet you call all of your people. It doesn't matter what their walk in life is. It doesn't matter who they are or where they live. If they are born again, if they've accepted you as their Savior, every last one of them has a plan. It is your plan for them. And we can do the same thing. Lord, we can't always be successful in this world, but we can be faithful. The least of us, can be faithful. And that's what our prayer today. Now, Lord, we're praying for our brothers and sisters in Syria. And we're praying, oh God, that you'll just help and strengthen them and help them to know that their lives are a great challenge to us. And it's helping us to be a better Christian and more dedicated. But Lord, we want to pray especially for the little children in Syria. Oh God. Maybe they've seen their mother and their dad killed before their eyes. They're in a strange land. They're among strange people. They're cold. They're scared. Mom and dad is gone. Oh God, how those little children. It must make your heart ache and break. And I know you could come at any minute, but Lord, you're waiting just to let somebody else come. Maybe there'll be one more sinner that'll open their heart to you and come to you and find everlasting life. And so those little children, Lord, I know you'll take care of them, and we'll see them in heaven, because all the little children belong to you. You told us in the Gospels, three of the four Gospels, you told how you took them in your arms, and you bless them, and you said, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. They're all part of your kingdom. But Lord, when we come to the age of accountability, then we have to make that decision, and we choose heaven or hell. We choose Jesus or Satan. No middle ground, one or the other. Oh, we pray that everybody listening and worshiping with us today will make the decision, I want Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And Barb's going to sing, If We Never Meet Again. God bless you, Barb.
Soon we'll come of life's journey, and perhaps we'll never meet anymore. as we struggle through this world and its strife. There's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side. Shall meet by the river where no storm clouds ever darken the sky. And they say we'll be happy in heaven in that wonderful sweet by and by. If we this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meaning place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life, where the charming
thank you, Barb. And while Barb was singing that, I was thinking all of the thousands and millions of people all over the world that we're worshiping together. And wouldn't I love to meet every one of you? Well, you know what? If you have Jesus, if you've been born again, if you've taken Jesus as your Savior, we're going to get together in heaven. And won't that be beautiful? And that beautiful shore, we'll meet all of the people. Oh, I can't hardly wait. And yet we have to keep on because there are some that are not ready to go, some not going to make it, not going to be there. And you know why they're not going to be there? Because they haven't accepted Jesus. You've got to accept Jesus. And let me tell you how easy it is. Yeah, some people make it hard, and you got to do this and you got to do that. Jesus wants to save you. He died to save you. And you make a move toward him and he'll open his heart. He'll take you into his heart. And you just say, dear Jesus, don't get fancy the thee and the thous and all of the rest. Dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. And I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll live for you the best I can. Jesus taught repentance. Turn from your wicked ways, evil ways. And I'll serve you the best I can. We'll never be perfect, but just tell you, sir, I'll give him your life. And then thank him. And then tell somebody. Oh, I did that when I was 10 years old. 10 years old. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I knew a little because my mother taught us about the Bible, but I didn't know all the great things in the Bible and the things about God, and I still don't know it all. But I knew one thing. I just prayed and asked Jesus into my heart, and he came to my heart that night, and I've been walking with the Lord. I've been 85 years, and there's times I've drifted away, and I've been as close to him as I should, but he never left me. I may have left him, but he never left me. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. I just love him. And so now we're starting a new year, and I thought, well, now what should I preach for the first Sunday in the new year? And then the Holy Spirit, or some, I just felt like, oh, I know what I'll do. We'll look at some of the great people in the Bible and we'll take lessons from them, learn lessons from them on how we ought to live. And so I took down some things and I put down, first of all, I put down, we should strive to have a faith like Abraham. And Abraham, you know, he just trusted God. God told him and he never doubted, never questioned. I have these people and they say, oh, it's all right if you get mad with God if something doesn't go right. It's all right. He understands you. And if you get mad at him, if you question him, you shouldn't ask him one question. You shouldn't doubt him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And who am I that I am going to challenge the Almighty? We don't understand what we don't understand how we are even created with the DNA. It's a miracle. And do you know what the conception? That little baby has DNA? Exactly. That is, how can you understand a God can make all of that and do all of that? It is impossible. And so when we have the hard things in life, and they'll come, sooner or later, you'll have things you don't understand. You wonder why. Well, when those things come, you say, dear Jesus, now what do you want to teach me? Do you want to teach me to be more humble? Maybe I'm proud. Do you want to teach me to be more giving? Maybe I ought to break up a little, open up on my heart here and support these Christian ministries more. Maybe he wants to just tell us that he wants us to draw closer to him. Every one of us, and well, what does the Bible say? What are we told in Hebrews? That the Lord chastens every child that he receives, everyone, because none of us is perfect, so he wants us to make us better. And one of those things is the faith. And Abraham, when God says to Abraham, I want you to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, you have all your relatives here, you were raised here, and you played basketball here. No, I don't know if he played basketball or whatever he did something. And I want you to leave them. I want you to take your little family. I want you to travel to a promised land. And Abraham didn't. And Abraham says, well, where is it, Lord? How do I get there? No, he just struck out. He'd never been there. He didn't have any foggiest idea. And he had to go through the wilderness and there were marauding tribes and he had those innocent children with him. They could have wiped him out and taken everything he had. He believed God. He had faith. And that's what God wants us to do. When he tells us to do something, asks us to do something, we need to do it. And don't stand there questioning God and challenging God because it's as evil as it can be. And Abraham, look at him. He teaches us the way. And then there's a man named Enoch in the old Bible, in the Old Testament. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God and he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. So here he's 365 years old. But he's a man who feared God and loved God and he had a close relationship with God. And this is what we're told in the 24th verse. And Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Enoch never died. He was taken right into heaven. Elijah never died. He was taken right into heaven. Can you imagine that? And this man was so godly. He was loved the Lord so much that God took him home. He was that close to God. He's talked about, they talk about it. The writer of Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He had a close relationship with God. And my friends, that's the way we have to live. We have to live in such a way that we're drawing closer to God. We're going, getting closer to God, walking with God and trusting God, leaning on him. And so that's why we need to read the Bible. Read the Bible for yourself. Go to a church where they preach the Bible. Get into a little Bible study. Read Christian books. My, we got so much trash in the world today. And people studying cults and stuff. Don't waste your time studying those people. You say, well, I want to know what they're all about. You don't need to know what they're all about. They're all from the devil. You want to get in bed with the devil? So just take the Bible and read that Bible. Read godly teachers because God has given the gift of teaching to certain people. It's a gift, and they can understand the scriptures, and they can point out things in the scriptures that we might not pick up every time. And so just take the word, stay close to God. And Enoch says, I walked with God. And the closer you got to God, the more you love him. When I find somebody and they say, that I ask him, do you love Jesus? And they'll say they don't love Jesus. You know why they don't love him? They don't know him. And the more you know him, the more you love him. And for 85 years, I've known Jesus. And I haven't always done the right thing. And I've had my times of drifting and lapsing, but he never drifted from me. And he always was there. And he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so when we come to Jesus and we've sinned, and maybe you're battling liquor or maybe you're drugs or something like that, and you fall back. When you fall back, you go to Jesus and just confess your sins, and he'll forgive you once and 10 times and 1,000 times. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And as many times as you come to me, I'll forgive you. Never give up. Never give up. And when we get to heaven, we'll be perfect. Well, we won't be perfect till we get there. This wonderful Jesus. And that's the kind of man that Enoch was. And then we look at Moses. And Moses teaches us a lesson. And he makes this decision. Moses had a big decision to make because you remember the story. He's put in a little ark. His mother Jochebed put him in a little ark. And Pharaoh's daughter finds him and says, now you take him back to this woman. And Pharaoh's daughter knew it was the mother, I'm sure of that. And says, you take care of him. And she nursed him and took him. And then when he got to be 6 or so years old, something like that, here comes a big chariot. And the people of and the Egyptians taking him to the palace. And when Moses was at home with his mother says, now, Moses, don't you ever forget you're a Hebrew. They're going to teach you a lot of things, but don't you forget that you're a Hebrew. And they have a lot of gods over there, Moses, but you remember Jehovah God. You have the God of the Jews, the God of the Hebrews. Don't you forget that. And so they took Moses, and they took him for years, about 20, 30 years, all those years, and they taught him, and they pounded it through his skull. This is the God and all. And then the day came when he had to make a choice. And Moses chose rather to take the part with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt for a season. The pleasures of this world just for a season, short season. And you're going to have to make decisions. And when we make those decisions, let's be wise like Moses and keep God in the equation and trusting God and serving God, following him. And then we ought to be like Daniel. He had his devotions. And we offer to think about Daniel so many times and how that he always prayed. And even though it would put him, put him in the lion's den. He didn't make a care at all. He prayed in the open. He could have said, oh, they're going to watch for me. And if I pray by an open window, that was his custom. Well, then I'm going to be, I have to hide. I can be in my closet and God will hear me. No. Daniel says, I pray with my God to that window. And he prayed there if he would have cost his life. And that's what we need to do is have our daily devotions. Every day, have your time with the Lord. Fight for it. And I think if you can do it in the morning, it's the best because then you have the whole day and you don't know what you're going to face that day, see? And then we learn patience like Job. Poor old Job, if he didn't have a time of it and he was so poor that he got in such a place that his wife sees that he's lost everything. He's lost his children. They've been taken in a storm. He's lost his family. He's lost all his livestock. And now he's lost his health. He's sitting on an ash pile. He thinks he's going to die. He's scraping his boils with some old herb, piece of metal or a piece of pottery or something. And he's going to die. And his wife comes and says to Job, let me give you a suggestion. And we always like to get suggestions from our wives. And my wives many times are right. I know Beulah, she had more sense than I did. When she'd say something, it's worth to listen to her. And the wife says, Job, why don't you curse God and die? Job says, you know what he said. Though he slay me, I will trust him. And so be like Job. Be patient. Draw nigh to God and don't budge an inch. Stay with him. And then you can be like Andrew. And you know the story of Andrew. As soon as he was saved, he went and got his friends, brought them to Jesus. And you can do that. Every one of you can do that. You say, well, I've never been to seminary. What if they ask me a question from the Bible I can't answer? They ask me questions that all the time I can't answer. I have to look them up, look up the answers. And I've been in it for 85 years. Just don't worry about it. But tell them your testimony. Tell them how you accepted Jesus. They can't talk you out of that. You know, like the man born blind and he was healed and they tried to talk him out of Jesus not being a prophet. And the man says, I don't know if he's a prophet or what he was, but I know once I was blind, now I can see. And you can say, I don't know anything about Jesus, but I know this. Once I didn't have any peace. I didn't have any faith. I didn't have any trust. I didn't have real joy. And now I got it. They can't talk you out of that. You don't need an education, seminary education, to give your testimony. And so just do that. Stay true to the Lord. And then I said, put down, have forgiveness in your heart. And do that as like Stephen, young Stephen, first martyr of the Christian church. And now he's dying. And they're stoning him to death. And while he's dying, he's praying for those to take his life. Forgiveness isn't easy with some people. You are harmed, you are done, but you've got to just somehow ask God to help. You can't do it by yourself, but ask to just to forgive and give them to the Lord and let God deal with them as he will. But of course, the best model of all is to live like Jesus. I put down just a few things we might do. Where Jesus is an example in trusting God. We must never doubt God. Sometimes I catch myself wondering, now how's this going to come out? And I wonder if I should have done this. I wonder if I should have done that. And Jesus never doubted the Heavenly Father. He never put a question mark. And we had an old professor in seminary. And he says, you remember this. He told all of us in class. He says, when God puts a period, don't you put a question mark. And that's easy to put a question mark, but don't you do it. You trust the dear Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Jesus. And then he lived a good example. He lived the Christian life. And he says, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, in Matthew 5:48. And so we try to be perfection, be perfect. But now we're never going to be perfect in this world. But we strive for that. We strive to be perfect like the Lord. And when we fail, go to him in prayer and ask for forgiveness, and he'll forgive you every time. There is no limit to God's grace and forgiveness. My grace is sufficient for thee. And where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It's greater than all of our sins. And so just give your life to Jesus. That's a first step. Don't try to do it alone. And then go on with the Lord. And then Jesus is our example in loving others. He says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And God tells us we should love people and care for people. And they can tell it. I'm going to tell you something. Even little children can tell if you love them. They can pick you out in a minute's time. And so that has to be genuine. And that love comes from God. You see, we live on a finite level. God's love is infinite, but when we accept Jesus, we have the love of Christ in our hearts, and we have that love within us, and we need to show in all this world needs love. People are hurting so much, so many times, failing and drifting and all kinds. We get letters from it just makes your heart ache, and we pray for those people. And then finally, I put down, always be true. Remain true to God. Paul, in our scripture, Paul says, I press toward the mark. I want to be found. I want to finish faithful. I want to finish true. We can't all be successful. We can all be faithful. And that's what he did. And it talks about it in Hebrews. He says, in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you get that? It says, Jesus says, who for the joy, he rejoiced that he could go to the cross and die for us. And we need to remain true to him. And so we think of the church, the persecuted church. Oh, my dear God. There was a report put out by Open Doors USA. They say that 2015 was the worst year on record for Christian persecution around the world. And they tell about all of they say they estimated 7,000 Christians were killed for their faith around the world in 2015. 7,000 Christians killed in 2015. And they say that was an increase of 50% from the previous year. It's on the rise. And the highest number on record since statistics have been made since they kept keeping statistics. 7,000. And of the 10 countries of the worst one is North Korea. It's harder to be a Christian in North Korea than any place in the world. And sad to say, it is no new thing. From day one, the church was persecuted. Stephen was the first Christian martyr, and they've been dying ever since. Put to death for their faith in Jesus Christ and their stand for Jesus Christ. There was a German Lutheran pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he was hung during the Nazi regime. And in his sermons, he would preach and say, he says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. We die to ourselves, and we have to give up our life. There, it's happening right now, today. And God calls us on to be true, to be faithful to him. And I know you want to be that, and I sure want to be that. And so we need to have we just have that wonderful faith to be true to the Lord. But the main thing is, first, you have to have Jesus. He has to be real. You have to do more than just know him as a... He is a historical character. There's no question about that. In any reliable history book, in an encyclopedia, you'll find Jesus Christ. But he has to be, you have to have him personally, an intimate personal knowledge of him. And that is, you have to ask him into your heart. As many as received him, Jesus said, many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You're not the child of God until you receive him. That's what Jesus said, John 3:36. How do you receive him, you say? Well, how do you receive anybody? You say, come into my house. Am I knocking at your door? You say, come in. Jesus is knocking at your heart. I know he's at thousands of people right now. He's wanting to come in, and you've got that feeling, I ought to have Jesus. Then you pray. And you say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. Please come into my heart and take away my sin, and I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. We'll send you literature to help you get started on the way. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And you write, and we'll send you the literature. And if you want to have our new song, you write for that. If you want the booklet on suicide, write for that. And whatever you do, be sure that you tell others about this ministry, because they need to know Jesus. And they'll never can call on his name if they never hear about Jesus. And in many quarters, they don't even know about Jesus. And so you can help them. It may be hard for you to witness, but get them to listen to the Christian Worship Hour. And we'll preach it as plain and simple as we can. And the Holy Spirit will take his word, and people will be saved because you got them to listen in. We're just praying that you'll do that. So now we want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for all who've joined us today. Thank you for the multitudes that opened their heart to you. And Lord, we just pray now for the shut-ins and the people on beds of sickness and those in wheelchairs and those who can't get around and about anymore. And some of them are lonely, and some of them are sick, and some are hurting. And help them to know that you promised you would never leave them or forsake them, and you always keep your word. And help them just to look to you and trust in Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And then help us, Lord, that we'll just all of us be busy doing the Lord's work. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we want to thank you all for tuning us in today. I'm going to give you the address one more time, especially for those of you on shortwave radio all around the world, shortwave Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, USA. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. And you pray for us. And who knows, this may be the year that the Lord comes again. And won't that be something? I don't know if he'll come this year or not, but I know one thing for dead sure. He'll come again because he said he would. He said he'd come the first time and he waited thousands of years, but he came. And now he'll come a second time because he said so. And so in the meantime, we'll just spread the word, preach the word, witness the word, tell others about Jesus, and live for him the best you can. And by your life, people will see that you have something they don't have, and they'll want Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. God bless you. We love you, everyone, in Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.